Let me give you an overview of the issue of the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. I call it the Lord's table. I feel it's more befitting to call it the Lord's table, but many, if not most, if not all, when they observe the Lord's Supper, they do it in a multiple, they do it multiple ways. Some do a wafer wine, some do it with wafer or cracker and juice. Some people don't use elements at all. They sit around a table and they say that's their way of making a show and remembering the Lord's death till he come. And they say by them partaking in that, that shows forth a victory to the angelic realm. And, you know, I used to subscribe to that theory also. And the idea is that when you're looking at this, you have to wonder, well, how much do we partake? If we're drinking of the juice, how much do we partake? If we've seen what the Lord did with the apostles, he told them to share it, to drink ye all of it. He took it among, and they all partook of it. With the bread, what type of bread do we take? Is it unleavened bread? Is it show bread? What type of bread is it? Can it be any type of bread? And if so, how much? You know, and then you have to wonder where, you know, some people get the bread at, where do you get it from? You know, what if someone who was unsaved, what if they just so happened to get the same type of element, the bread and the wine or whatever, or the juice, and they partake of it? Is it the same showing? But the idea is that it was never about the elements themselves. What the Lord conveyed over to his apostles at that time, he did it for a specific reason. Why didn't he do it a day before? Why did he do it earlier in the day? Why did he do it right before he was taken? There is significance behind that. The Lord gave to his apostles the doctrine of the cup and the bread issue, which is his body. He gave them that for five chapters, from John chapter 13 all the way up to John 18. The Lord gave his apostles commandments, examples, instructions, and by the time when they got to the issue of the him passing the cup and the bread, they already knew what the Lord was saying, what he was talking about. They knew that bread signified him telling them over and over again that they be as one, that they love one another, that they are in him. And he in them, and he is in his Father, and that they love each other. And then with the cup issue, he explained to them that they have part with him in this, and that he is the vine, they are the branches. They're going to bring forth much fruit. And he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. That's the ministry, and we're going to see what the cup entailed there. We're going to see what that cup entails, and we're going to see that cup has nothing to do with, again, a physical cup. It's a spiritual. So without further ado, turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to look at the matter at hand here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's come down to verse 23. Paul says, For I received the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Now see, again, oftentimes people base what they believe in about this issue off of these four verses right here. And for 3.5 years I've taught on this issue, and I've been told I'm giving too many verses, or I'm going looking too far into it, and things of that nature. But see, when we understand what we believe about doctrine, and this is just not some some harebrained scheme or some different way of thinking by myself or anything. This is what Paul wants you to understand. Because notice what he says here in verse 23. The same night in which the Lord was betrayed took bread. We have to look at what happened that night, not just what he did when he handed them the bread and wine. The supper ended in chapter 13, four chapters earlier. This is what he gave to them as an example. They weren't partaking of his actual supper at this time. This was an example he gave unto them. So let's go back there. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, let's go to verse 14. Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at the table. Now, there's a lot of things to note here. But when you're looking at this, again, he says, he wanted them to divide it amongst themselves because they all have part in the ministry. This has nothing to do with some people think over in 1 Corinthians that some people were taking of the bread and they're not waiting on the others, leaving some people out. These people were eating. These people weren't. Paul was not concerned with their dietary issues there. You have to remember, Paul opens the book of Corinthians saying, there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And he's going back over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's divisions among the body of Christ. These saints here were babes in Christ. They could not handle the meat doctrine. Paul's not giving them a mature doctrine here that we supposedly observe by taking a bread or sipping wine or whatever or juice or anything like that. Paul could care less about how they ate. He just got through talking to them about not eating things offered to idols. But it wasn't going to damage them. And he explained to me, I don't have time to get in that right now, but he wasn't explaining to this is not the issue here. I'll just put it like that. The issue here is he's explaining there are divisions among the members of the body of Christ. And we're going to go into it. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But, again, the Lord says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come in verse 18. And that fruit of that vine is going to be the fruit that the apostles, which are the branches, they're going to bear witness by them going out, not sitting around at a table and eating to show the Lord's death, but no, them going out and ministering for fulfilling their ministry. They were going to bring forth fruit when they preached Jesus Christ. And that's the fruit he's going to drink in his kingdom. And then notice after verse 20 when he said, this is the cup of the New Testament blood which is shed for you, the next thing he says is, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Now, what does that have to do with the cup and the bread issue? Because that's an objective of Satan to put a stop to this. We're going to see all of this. That's why Paul mentions this over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And he talks about the issue of the table of the Lord and table of devils and about you being not tempted. Let's come back to John chapter 13 and let's look at what the Lord taught his apostles that night. Let's look at John chapter 13 and let's look at verse 1. John chapter 13, verse 1. And we're going to see here, this is, he's teaching them that they be as one, that they love each other as one, and that they have a part with the Lord as his body. That body concept is not only new to us. And you'll see that here. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was to come, he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hand, and that his hour was come from God, and went to God. Now, I want you to notice all the times he says, he used that word betrayed and betray. And why that is so significant, and even what Paul said about the Lord being betrayed. Verse 4, he riseth up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then came he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now you see right there, Peter's like, wait a minute, the Lord's washing my feet? What's going on with this? The Lord has given him an example, and he said, you don't know now, but you're going to know hereafter. This is going to be part of these things that he's given unto these apostles to know. Verse 8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And then now Peter answered right. Peter said, well, wait a minute. If my feet is only going to give me part with you, why not wash all of me then? And Jesus said unto him, he that washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who shall betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and was set down. He said unto them, know ye not what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for I am so, for so I am. And then I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. What I want you to notice here is, at this time here now, Jesus is now sitting with his apostles. And for this part, for as long as it is here, until he gets up and he's going to be betrayed, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to be sitting with his apostles at the table. But of course, supper is finished already. Now let's see what he's giving over for his apostles to understand. Come down to, you're in John 13, come down to verse 34. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, for ye have love one to another. Now he says this over and over again here. And this is a commandment that he gives unto them, that they be as one in love. Let's go to verse 4, let's go to John 14. And you're going to notice here, you put this contrast to the Corinthians and the way the Corinthians were walking. There were divisions among them. They were not of the same mind as Paul exhorted them to be. John 14, let's look at verse 15. Verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he should give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. See, what the Lord is saying, the Lord is saying that he's not going to leave the apostles without the proper doctrine, without the proper doctrine that they be as one, that they love one another. And he's not going to leave them where they won't have something in them, where they won't be able to go out there and minister. But this doctrine of the Comforter is going to keep them where they will be able to love as the Father loves the Lord, and as the Lord loves the Father, and as they both love the disciples in this world. Let's come down to verse 24. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things, and bring you all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's the word there. See, that's that word that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is going to send after Jesus Christ leaves. And that happened. Let's come down to John 15, and let's look at the issue of the cup issue here being explained to the apostles. Also, John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Do you notice the issue of in me? He that abideth in me, and I in him. See, that talks about the oneness. It talks about a body right there. And he's saying he's the true vine. And again, like I said earlier, the apostles are the branches. And he's explaining about them bringing forth much fruit. Let's go to verse 8. Come down to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Lord hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I want to stop there for a second. You notice how many times he comes along and says commandments and command, my commandment, love each other, over and over again. This is belabored at the same table, right before he gives the bread and the cup to the disciples. This is what people don't look at. You have to look at what Paul says. The night which the Lord was betrayed, not the instant when he gave the bread and cup to the apostles there. There was more that happened. Those apostles knew when they took that cup, and even the Corinthians knew that. They even knew that. They just were doing it unworthily. They didn't want to get the education. They were divided. And you're going to see the same thing is going to happen to the apostles. There was divisions among the apostles also. And let's pick it right back up here. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatever so I command you. Let's come down to verse 16 here. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask in the name of the Father, in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, this is going to be another issue he's going to bring out. He's going to bring out the issue of how this world hates not only the message, but they hate the Lord and they hate the Father. And they're going to hate the messengers, which is going to be the apostles. Now, let's come down to John 17. Let's come down to John 17. This is going to be the Lord praying here. John 17, let's come to verse 9. John 17, verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all are mine and thine. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one, as we are. Now you know he's talking about the apostles here. He's praying to the Father. And again, his prayer is that they be as one. He's fervently belaboring this over and over again and again as a commandment that they understand that they be as one. Now he's praying to his Father right before he's betrayed, right before he's taken, that they be as one. Let's come down to verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You notice that sanctify them, set them apart, sanctify them. This sanctification here. The Lord didn't, you know, if the apostles sat around breaking bread and sipping out of a cup to remember the Lord's death till he come, they wouldn't have been able to bear forth much fruit. They'd have been too busy doing that as often as they do it. And again, with us, how often do we do it? Is it once every 3 months, once every 6 months, maybe when someone special shows up at the church? How often do we do it? For how long? I mean, we're not taught this doctrine. This is doctrine that we're not taught. But see, some would say, some take it because, you know, you got some of the biggest churches that do this. The Catholic Church do it. And, you know, you'd have to question the things that you do that you see some of the idolatrous people doing. But, again, that's another issue. John 17, let's go to verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast givest me, I have given them, that they may be as one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Thou hast loved me. Now, again, how many times do you have to see the Lord saying over and over again, and me myself, that they be as one, and they love each other? Do you see what's going on here? And he's saying in me and I in them. See, he's explaining, when he told them that this is my body, which is broken for you, and eat of it, they knew what that meant. When he gave them the cup and said, drink ye all of it, they knew what that meant. It's funny, we seem to not know and understand what's going on here. We seem to overlook this here. Let's come back to Luke. Let's look at Luke 22. And we're going to see, after all the time the Lord is saying that they be as one and that they love each other, and they be as one, they love each other. And he's praying to the Father the same thing. Look at what happens over here in Luke chapter 22. Come to verse 17. Luke 22, verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and brake it, and gave it unto them. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament of my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Now, we're going to see what happens right after he's given them this example. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it is determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Now you see the betrayal here? That betrayal is it's a work of Satan. Now let's look at the next verse. Notice what the next verse says in verse 23. And they begin to acquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And listen to this. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Do you see what happened there in verse 24? After they're trying to figure out which one might do this, the next thing on their mind is, which of them is going to be the great? There was a strife among the apostles. The same apostles that the Lord over and over just told them that they be as one in love. Over and over again. That was the objective there. Let's come down to, while you're in Luke, come down to verse 29. And we're going to see what this is about here. Verse 29. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit upon thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. See, that right there is the objective there, to bring forth much fruit. And we even know after the Lord died and the Lord came back and he said to Peter, he said three times, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Over and over again he said that. And he said, thou lovest me? Three times. Thou lovest me? Well, if you love me, that's what you're going to do. You're going to bring forth much fruit. Feed my sheep, he said it to him over and over again. Now, let's come over to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look at the actual manner here as far as the fellowship, the communion of the body, and that one bread issue. Let's come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's come down to verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You notice that word fellowship? Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And Paul's going to say that I partly believe it. You know, he can't believe that there's contentions among them. Let's come down to this. Come over to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then let's see him mention that again, because this is where he's going to bring this issue up again. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. And you remember the word, he said he heard there was contentions among them? Verse 16. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such customs, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declared unto you, and praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. See, these apostles were supposed to come together. Disciples were supposed to come together for the better, but they're not. They're coming together for the worse. Verse 18, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there have been divisions among you, and partly believe it. And this is significant to understand. Every time Paul says when you come together, you have to make sure you understand where he's talking about you come together at. He's going to say, when you come together to eat. Then he's going to say here, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly do believe it. See, when they were to come together, it was supposed to be edified. to be taught the Word of God, not to eat, not to do anything. Now they're physically eating. Wherever they physically ate at, you're going to see later on, that had nothing to do with the doctrine. And like you said here, there's a mission. I heard there's a division among you, and I partly believe it. Verse 19, for there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And see, some will take that and say, well, what he's actually saying, you know, when you come together in one place, you're acting like this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, but it actually is. Well, that's not what he's saying here. He's saying the ways it's written out. When you come together, therefore, to one place, comma, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to explain that in the coming weeks. We're going to go back over that issue in the coming weeks there. But let's come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to look at this whole issue of the bread and the body issue here. And what I wanted to show you first there was that the divisions among them, and that's what I want to show you. Let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 now, and let's look at verse 15. I speak to us wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now here you see what he's saying here. Not only he expects for wise ones to understand this and judge this, but he's saying that the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion? And he's saying that this is what signifies here. Like he says, we are one bread, for we being many are one bread in one body. Now, how are we going to partake of ourselves? How is it possible? Do we physically partake of ourselves? Someone said, well, no, we being members together, we are one bread, but we're partaking of bread together. So that's what he's talking about. No, that's not what he's talking about here. Let's look at the bread. Let's look at the body concept here. Now come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, is this a physical drink? How do we drink into one Spirit? How are we one, but there's many people? Because this is what he's explaining, something you should already know. For the body is not one member, but many. Let's go down to verse 24. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24. For our commonly parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now you notice back there, verse 25, that we have the same care for each other, for one another. For 27 verses here, Paul went over the issue of the body. Not mentioning spiritual gifts at all, but explaining that we are at one. We are to work together as one, with Christ being the head. And the same thing we see over there in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 tells us the same thing, that we being many are one body in Christ, and every member one of another. And we're told to love, how to treat one another. Ephesians chapter 4, same thing. Let's go there, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto itself, unto the edifying of itself in what? Love. You notice he's talking about truth and love, and then edifying itself in love when it's talking about the body. And over in Romans chapter 12, same thing. Let's come over to Colossians and look. Let's look at when he's mentioned the body, he talks about love, how we ought to be, have a oneness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Colossians 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now he's talking about charity here. Charity is a effect of love. It's the end all of love. Now we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to look at the matter at hand here. And anyone you ask, if you ask them about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, they're going to tell you, well, Paul's dealing with sanctification here. If Paul, yeah, I believe Paul is dealing with sanctification here. They'll tell you that. Now let's come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, we know ourselves that they weren't baptized in the sea. We know they didn't even get wet. It was Pharaoh's men that got wet. And we know that this wasn't a physical meat or physical drink. This was a spiritual drink and a spiritual meat. Because it talks about the sanctification issue, that they were just led out of Egypt. But then they went and they started murmuring and tempting and fornicating, idol worship. These are things that they were doing. Now, let's look at this issue about the cup and the bread. Is it spiritual or is it a physical? Is it a physical element that we partake of? Come back to John chapter 18, and we're going to look at the issue of the cup here. John 18, let's look at verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having absworn, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus to Peter, put up thy sword in thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't carrying around a physical cup. And this was a spiritual cup. This was the ministry. This was what the Lord knew he had to partake of. He was ready to be all that God called him to be. And this cup issue here that he's ready to drink, that's his part. That's his ministry that he's getting ready to fulfill. And the apostles themselves were given cups, a cup to drink. That was the ministry. We ourselves are given a cup to drink in partaking of the ministry. And this is something that we don't do once a month, once every 3 months, 6 months, or whatever we feel, or one person in the church feels that the need to do it. This is something you can do on a daily basis when you partake of the ministry. What's what we're doing right now? Right now, we are drinking of that cup. When you go out and minister the New Testament in that blood, when you go out and minister the doctrine, that ministry, that's partaking of that cup, the cup given unto you of the Lord. Be us coming together as one in love. We are one members of one body, being one bread. That's how we partake of each other. You do that on a daily basis when you do that in love. That's the only time and reason why Paul explains this in the epistles about the Lord's Supper, Lord's table issue. Well, he does it more than that. He does it throughout the whole epistles, all the epistles, but he doesn't use the terminology the night the Lord supped and things like that. He doesn't have to because the more mature saints, they already know what the issue is here. Now let's come over to Luke 22. Come back to Luke 22, and let's look at the contents of the cup and the doctrine and the apostleship. And let's look at that. Luke 22, verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Now, again, we went over the issue about the dividing of it. Then he says he's not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom shall come. And that's what Jesus is looking to. He's looking at that issue that these apostles, in being the branches, when they minister, when they take that cup, that ministry, they're going to go out and bring forth much fruit. And fruit that the Lord is going to drink at his table in that day, in the kingdom. And the fruit is going to be the ones that are saved, the saints. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them. "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, he's saying this here. At this time, the apostles fully knew what the Lord was saying when he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do." They knew how to do that. They knew how to do what he's saying. When he broke it, he's breaking it, giving them each a part of his body. He mentioned to them, "I am you and you and me, and I am my Father." Then notice verse 21, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at the table." And we're going to see in next week's study about the temptations and about when he said how this world hated him and hated the Father, and he's going to hate the apostles. The world's going to hate the apostles also. That's what's so significant in dealing with the betrayal. With the betrayal, because there's actual contention of Satan, again, against the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the apostles. And we're gonna see all that, and it's gonna be significant to see. But you know, I don't want to get into that right now because we're gonna go over that next week. But if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Matthew 26, and we're gonna take another look at this issue here. Matthew 26. Let's look at verse 27. Matthew 26, verse 27. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Now you see that there? You see what's in the cup? What's in the cup is this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And that's the cup that they would be drinking, that they would be partaking of. That's the cup the Lord has given unto his apostles. That's the cup that we also, and that's what Paul is giving over to the Corinthians to understand. It's the ministry, spreading the word. Look at verse 29. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew, drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And that fruit he's talking about is what they're going to bear. That's what he wanted them to do. Go out and minister. Go out and get saved souls. spread my word, preach of me and my Father. You'd be wasting time if you're sitting around a table breaking bread and sipping from a cup. There'd be no, and we would waste our time doing the same thing when and if we do it. Because what good would it if you're sitting and saying you're giving, you're making an impact? I'll put it to you like this. We're told over there in Ephesians 3, verse 10, how we make an impact. It's made when we make the manifold wisdom known by us, the church. That's how you make an impact. And you take 10 people sitting around a table saying that, and saying that they're making an impact, and you can take one person going out there, making the manifold wisdom be made known, and who do you think would be making more of an impact? The ones that are sitting around the table amongst each other, or the one out there spreading the gospel in love? Who would be making more of an impact? You don't have to wonder. This is something that we need to understand. And by the time you get over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you see in verse 20, matter of fact, let's come there. Let's come there. We'll end the study here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's go to verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, when you're looking at this, this is very self-explanatory. After we go through all of the doctrine, when we go through it next week, and the final study in the third week there, you're going to see what all this entails. And you can study it on your own, but I'm going to give you a little overview of it. He's saying, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread. Now, what bread? He's talking about what he just explained. Not just any old bread. He's not just saying, whosoever shall eat bread and drink of a cup of the Lord unworthily. This cup, that bread, this bread. He's saying that you can drink unworthily and eat unworthily if you don't, if you're doing as the Corinthians were doing. The Corinthians did not want to get to education. They wanted to reign as kings. The Corinthians were babes in Christ. They were operating upon milk doctrine. They could not go out and minister onto people like they ought to. They didn't have any doctrine within them. There were divisions among them. They could not partake of each other as one body and one bread as they ought to. Because, like the apostles, at that one moment, there was a strife among them also. Like Paul says, I partly believe it, that there's division among you. And if they were to go out and do that, they'd be doing it unworthily. And this is how you know and understand this. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. This is similar to what Paul told them over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Examine yourselves. Know ye not your own selves, whether ye be in the faith? He's telling these guys to take a step back and examine themselves. Examine themselves if they're worthy to do it or not worthy enough. To do an examination of themselves and see doctrinally where they are. And if they are doctrinally fit, spiritually fit, to go out and drink of that cup and eat of that bread, he says, and so let him eat. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, Now, that's functional damnation. And that all, we're going to deal with that next week. We'll run out of time. But that all deals with the issue when Paul says you cannot partake of the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. You cannot partake of the table of devils and the table of the Lord. And you notice he doesn't say the bread of the devils. Now, there is a bread of the Lord. Why did he mention you can't partake of the bread of devils? And we're going to talk about that. Because that cup signifies doctrine. The table signifies that the will, that whole way. And we're going to go to the Psalms and look at that the issue of the Psalms, about the issue about the table, my cup runneth over, the table that, I don't want to get ahead of myself again, like I said. I've already spent enough time with the issue. Next week we're going to look at the issue of the temptations. What he says, not the Motown temptations, but the temptations of this world and the Lord's cup. And how the Lord said the things about, weren't you with me in my temptations? And so on and so on. We're going to look at that next week. But I'm going to close here, and I'm going to open things up for Q&A, the Q&A session, question and answers. So if you want to chime in, you can press *61. *61 will get you into the queue, and anyone have any comments or any questions, feel free to press *61, and that will get you into the queue. First caller here, 4391. 4391, you're in the queue.
Great, Lord, you're back, Ron Jones. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing there, my friend?
Oh, great, yes. It's just, I was taught, and not too much, I didn't know too much about the eating the Lord's Supper, but I never did participate in the eating the Lord's Supper, you know, but I did learn a little bit what you were saying through the scripture about on the cup there. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. I know they used to sit down at the table and eat the bread and the wine and stuff, and, you know, I never just couldn't do that because I did see in the scripture you eat not of the Lord's Supper, you know. So, well, I'm just a little bit on this part on that love. So, and I'm glad you teach it on that. But that's something I never did know too much on about the eating of the Lord's Supper.
Well, I do thank you for tuning in as always. You are a very faithful Bible listener, and I know you teach also yourself, and you are a very, very astute person when it comes to the doctrine, and I do appreciate you tuning in all the time and giving your comments about it. But yeah, it's an issue that some have to understand, because the cup, when you're dealing with the cup is used many, many times in Scripture, and it talks about, like even when it talks about the Lord pouring out his cup of wrath, Jesus Christ himself in the garden, Jesus Christ looked into that cup, and he saw something in that cup. He was looking at what the Lord was giving him, what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a cup is used to dispense something. It's used to, it's not used in the way people use it today. They'll say, well, what the Lord was doing, he was showing that we need to sit around and we need to partake of some elements, a cracker and wine or whatever we partake of that we buy at Walmart that any ungodly person can go buy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what he's given here. But in the next two more weeks, I'm gonna sum it up and I'm gonna show you the issue here. And this is a sanctification issue. That's something that we can do every day to show the Lord's death till he come. And this is how you do it. It's a sanctification issue, something we're supposed to do every day around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to be an issue. Because every once a month is not enough to show the Lord's death till he come.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Ron.
All right. Bye-bye. And again, this is an issue that sometimes it gets me a little riled up somewhat because, you know, I've taught on the issue before and I've did many, many studies on it. And the feedback most of the time has been to a negative feedback, without one's even investigating it. But if someone told me that well, you know, there's a pastor over there. He's teaching that angels are here today and that they're, or what I would do is I'd listen to that guy. I'd listen to him and I'd study. I'd write, I'd go over it because I need to understand what he's saying because I can help him. But see, that's ones that have doctrine in them. But some people, if they feel like what you're teaching, oh, hey, this guy went off in left field, and I ain't even going to listen to him. But see, that's not the way you're taught to do. The Bereans are taught, they accepted things with readiness of mind. And they did that because that readiness of mind, you're ready to accept what's being heard. And you take it and you take it in and compare it with Scripture. You don't just take four verses and then make that doctrine. You know, this is a very, very important issue. This is something we're supposed to do to show the Lord's death till he come. And this is, again, it's an essential, very, very essential doctrine to understand about our sanctification and why the Lord conveyed it to his apostles when he conveyed it to them. But again, with that, I'm going to close. Well, any more call, anyone has a comment or question, *61 will get you into the queue. Anyone with a comment or question, *61 will get you into the queue. Well, with that, I will close. And again, next week, we're going to look at the issue of the temptation, the temptations and how this world hated the apostles and how it hates us today. And how Satan has an objective, and that betrayal was something that was given unto them by Satan. And we also have this world that, like Paul's going to use over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, about the temptations and lusting after this world, and we shouldn't lust after the things they lusted after. And with that, what I want to do, I'm going to close here, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And until next week, we will, again, we'll go over the same issues, three-part series,